You can be seated. Take your Bible this evening. Let's go to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I was thinking there, as we were singing that last song, Trust and Obey, I thought, man, I'm glad we're singing that before the preaching. It's good to have before the preaching to trust and obey. I'd a lot rather you sing that than I shall not be moved, you know. That's for sure. Did you hear about, you know, little town? I was time in real small towns, and on one corner there'll be a church on every corner. And sure enough, one Wednesday night, it's back in the days, you know, before there was big air conditioning. So the churches were meeting, and the windows were open, and the Baptist church was singing, Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown? The Methodist church across the way was singing, No, Not One. So, you know, that's just the way it is. All right, you're there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look, if you will, begin reading and with me in verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. We're going to leave off reading there. Just a reminder, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. But don't forget, he's writing under the inspiration of God. This is not just Paul sitting down and thinking, hey, Timothy, I got something that'll help you. No, this is God moving upon Paul and giving him what to write. And so he writes these words to Timothy. And I read these words, and I was reading them. I began to think, I think this way. Over and over in this life, I've heard people tell me, I'm bored. I'm bored. There was a time when that mostly came from teenagers. I worked with teenagers for years and years and loved it, still love teenagers, but I worked with them for years, and I would hear them say, oh, man, I'm bored, all right? But then it kind of moved down to the children. But today I see evidence of it in adults. And everybody's running around, we're bored. I'll be honest with you, I confess there weren't very many times in my life when I had any inkling of being bored. I could always find something to do, And I would, you know. Now, I definitely would have never told my dad I'm bored. Because had I done that, he would have helped me. He would have said, no problem, I can find something for you to do. And it definitely probably wouldn't have been what I wanted to do. So I would have never said that around him, you know. But I've got to where when kids tell me I'm bored, I say, no, you're not. Well, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not. I said, you're not bored. You are boring. I said, because you're boring, that's the reason you feel that way, you know. Hey, I believe there's more than enough to do and more than enough to entertain ourselves with in this world. Now, a lot of it, God's people got no business being involved in, all right? We just have no business being involved in it. But I believe with all my heart here, right here, God. Now, Paul was writing specifically to Timothy, a young preacher. But there's some things right here that's good for every one of us. So if you ever find yourself in a position where you're trying to figure out, I don't have nothing to do, I want you to open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and start in verse 11. And begin to look, because here's some things to do, all right? The Bible gives us some things to do. In verse 12, he says, here's what you need to do. You need to be an example. You need to be an example of the believer, all right? You need to do that. You say, well, wait a minute. How do you practice that? Well, I'll explain to you in a minute, all right? You see, the world needs to see some folks that are real. Real, real Christianity. The world's been exposed to plenty of fakes and frauds and religious charlatans, okay? And there's plenty of them out there That's not what the world needs to see. What they need to see is that somebody that's real, that's been born again, the Holy Spirit lives in them, and he's making a difference in their life. Hey, you know what? Giving this old world, the people in this old world, an example might really help them want to be one, okay? Might just encourage them, all right? But let me just give you a few things. Notice some specific things, and the truth be told, I could preach the whole service tonight right here in verse 12, but I'm not going to do it. Decided not to do it. But notice what he says. He said we're to be a believer in word. In word. Hey, that's what you say, plain and simple. Stuff that comes out of your mouth, it ought to be an example of the believer. It just ought to portray what Christ wants us to be. That means we ought to be careful the words we use. Careful with the words we use. Man, we live in the filthiest talking day that I think's ever been. Hey, what used to be more confined to sailors is now the general population. I mean, it just boggles my mind to hear people and the way they talk. And the sad thing is, I believe it's affected people that are saved. People that are saved. And we've lowered ourselves to that land. Listen, God said be an example in your word. In your word. In the words that you use. There's things we ought not to talk about. There's things we've just got no business talking about. There's words we've got no business using. We ought to work to be very careful about the vocabulary that we use, all right? We need to work to be careful about that. The words that we substitute for the cuss words. We ought not do that, all right? We just ought to be careful. Why? The Bible says be an example. Be an example of the believer in word. In word. Those words that come out of our mouth. We ought to use words to tell people about your relationship with Jesus Christ. We ought to do that. Hey, we talk about everything else. Okay? We do. We talk about everything else with people. We can say that. Nowadays we all talk about COVID, all right? And everybody's got their opinion, you know, to mask or not to mask, to sneeze or not to sneeze, you know, it's just on and on and on. Some people get violent about it. And, hey, but on the other hand, we talk about sports. We can sit down and talk about everything, you know. The area around here, we're in mourning because of the Cowboys, you know, I mean. But not me. I thought, hey, first playoff game, they lose. So what's new? Nothing new there. Been doing it now for years. But, hey, but we'll talk about that, right? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about those kind of things. We'll talk about TV shows. Hey, how about using those words to tell people about how good it is to be a child of God? Just how good it is to be a child of God. To know you're on your way to heaven. Hey, what a blessing it is. Hey, take those words and tell other people how they can become a believer, how they can be born again. You say, preacher, I don't know how to do that. Well, something to do. Learn to do it. Learn to do it. You say, well, don't know anybody to teach me. I can. Brother Dunbar can. There's a multitude of people here. They can. All right, they can. They can do that. They can teach you how to witness to somebody. And it doesn't have to be scripted. Can I say that to you? It doesn't have to be scripted. Point one, okay, now, it doesn't have to be like that. Hey, the truth of the matter is you tell them what you did to get saved. If it worked for you, it'll work for them. It'll work for them. Be thou an example of the believer in word, in word. Then notice the next thing it says there. In word, then it says in conversation. You say, well, that's the same thing. No. And the scripture, that word conversation, really is talking about your lifestyle. The way you act, I mean just the way you live, all right, your actions. And the Bible said, be thou an example of the believer right there, right there. You're here, it's Wednesday night, good thing, good thing. good thing. That's an example of the believer. We're supposed to be in the house of God. Supposed to be. You say, where does it say we're to be there on Wednesday? Nowhere. But it does say so much the more, all right, as you see the day approaching. Yet we live in a time where churches are cutting back services and we'd only have one a week, you know, and we're not to do that. We're to have that. We need that time together. What a testimony. What an example. What an example that people see you going to church. Just an example. That's an example of the believer. They see you on Sunday morning and you're dressed, obviously, you're not going to Walmart, okay? And you got a Bible maybe tucked under your arm, should have. Bring your Bible to church with you. And so here you come and you're on the way and they see you every day. You say, man, them people must be, they're fanatics. They go to church every Sunday morning. Man, you want to really shake them up, you go Sunday morning and Sunday night. You blow their mind, though, when it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all right? And then we have a revival, and you're going on Monday, and they go, is it Wednesday? You know? Mess them up, all right? Be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, your lifestyle, all right? It ought to portray you as a child of God. People will be able to look at you and say, that person's got to be a Christian, all right? There ought to be a huge difference between you and the heathen. Huge difference. Well, your life, I mean, they shouldn't be able to match you up hardly anywhere because you're born again. Be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, then in charity. In charity. This is your love life. Okay? What you love, who you love, and how you love should show forth the effects of your salvation. Hey, I've been born again and it's affected the way I love. It's affected that. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But boy, that's hard for us to do. I mean, let's be honest. There are a lot of things in this old world, it's easy for us to love them, all right? The Bible said that's not to be the way we love. We're to love differently. We're to love differently. And man, I've preached sermons here, and I'm going to purposefully try to move on, okay? But let me just say this. Love the unlovely. Love the unlovely. The world's filled with people love those that are lovely. We love the one that's easy to love. If they're easy to love, well, we'll love them. But that one that's a little on the contrary side and a little odd, a little different, you know, not normal like us. The oddball, okay? Hey, the person, hey, there's people out there that are just turned a little different, okay? They are. We're to love them. We're to love them. It ought to be on display. I'm going to give this example. This was years ago, youth department here at church. We were meeting back in the fellowship hall on Sunday morning for Sunday school. Teenage girl brought her friend. I don't know if it was her boyfriend or not, but it was her friend. And she brought him. Now, I'm going to just tell you, okay, he didn't look like one of us. Now, he wasn't tatted up. He didn't, you know, none of... The things that you would think, well, I know what you're saying. No, you don't. He just didn't look like one of us. I mean, he had a scowl somewhat on his face. The only way I know how to describe it, and you forgive me if you don't like this, all right, but he kind of looked like a punk, all right? He just had that look about him and that swagger and everything. But, man, I thought, boy, I'm so glad he's here. Unfortunately. Rest of the young people didn't think that. I didn't see one of them speak to him. What a terrible, no sweat, he never showed up again. I could never get him to come back. Never could. Why? Well, he just didn't look like he fit in. Can I say this to you? If it wasn't for the saving grace of God and what God's done for you, you wouldn't fit in either, all right? I wouldn't fit in either. Hey, can I just say this? The Bible said be an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity in the way you love, who you love, and how you love, all right? Do that. Love the brethren. Love the lost. Not going to dwell there anymore. Go on, all right? Notice the next word, in spirit. In spirit. Now, that's not Holy Spirit, I don't believe. I believe that word in spirit, I believe it really has to do with your spirit in life, your attitude, if you will, in life. It ought to be marked by the fact you're a believer. Our regular old attitude, all right? Now, you know what it is to have a bad attitude, okay? Because every one of us have done it. I have woken up before with a bad attitude. Nothing had happened. Literally, I mean, nothing had happened. I hadn't dreamed any bad dreams. I hadn't had a rough night, not able to sleep. I just woke up and I was out of sorts. I was cranky and all of that. And I woke up that way, but I knew it. I knew I was that way. I knew when I woke up. I said, bless God, that's the way God did it. I'm just going to let people have it. No, I didn't. I didn't do that. I remember telling my wife on at least one occasion like that. I said, hey, I'm telling you, I'm cranky this morning. And I don't know what. I said, you haven't done anything. There's nothing wrong. It's just wrong with me. And I had to work on that attitude, okay? That attitude. And we can get an attitude sometimes. We go to the store, we're out in traffic, and man, you know, it only happens if you're running just a tad bit behind, that's when there's a wreck. That's when there's problems, and you're beating on the steering wheel, you know. Get out! Just chill out, it ain't gonna help, all right? But our attitude comes across. Well, how about just having an attitude of rejoicing? I'm Christian. I'm saved. Hey, be thou an example of the believer. The believer in spirit, all right? Then notice it says in faith. In faith. Oh, we're to exercise our faith. Exercise that faith. Develop it. The more you develop it, the stronger it'll be. The more you learn to trust God, the better it is for you. I'm just going to say this to you. You can accuse me of being a money-grubbing preacher. But I'm going to say this to you. One thing that'll help our faith, maybe more so in this day than anything else, is learning to give. Just learning to give to God. Putting that tithe in the offering plate. Going beyond it. Hey, Mission Conference is coming up this next month. Mission Conference, the 18th, 19th, and 20th of February. That's some of the most exciting time in the church, some of the most important time in the church, all right? It's good, but you say, well, I don't go, man, you're going to be talking about money. Well, yeah. Takes money to send missionaries. Does, they can't go because you pray for them, all right? They need some financial support. But I tell you what, there's just nothing about increasing your faith like learning to give to God. Just learning to give. Just say, okay, Lord, I'll give. I've made it a practice for years now. If they pass the offering plate, I try to put something in. If I've got anything, I'll put something in. I've been in places where I preach and they took up a love offering and I gave them my own love offering. Said, why? Well, we want a good one, all right? So you put it in so you can get it, all right? No, but that's why. But if the offering plate's passed, I want to learn to give. Learn to give. Hey, we've got some members that get mad at me when I say this, but I would say, man, you're looking at one selfish dude. Now you say, preacher, you're not selfish. Nah, you don't know what lies in this heart. And one of the things I've done to try to work on me is learning to give. Just learn to give. It'll increase your faith. Hey, display that faith so others will know you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Know you trust Him. And all of this COVID stuff. Now, I'm in favor of you being careful. Hey, if it's just the flu, if you say, well, that's all it is, okay, fine. If that's all it is, fine. But don't you want to be careful? I don't know about you, but I don't want the flu. I don't want a cold. I don't like a sore throat. I don't like laying in the bed and your sinuses are draining. You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, man. You can hardly talk. It does help me to be a deep bass singer, though, all right? But, hey, I don't want that. Now, I want to be careful about it, okay? But during all of this stuff, my faith, my trust in God, and God tried to be careful, But it's always been, Lord, if you want me to have it, I'll have it. If you don't, I won't get it. But I'm going to be careful, not going to be stupid. You know, I'm not going around, sneeze on me. I don't want to do that. I want to be careful, but hey, I'm trusting God to take care of me. Be thou an example. You said, what should you do? Be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith. And then the Bible said, in purity. Just plain old-fashioned clean living. Cleanness. Just a clean life. I don't believe there's anything serves an example like a believer having a clean life on display. And you say, in what way? Every way. You see, you come to that day and you say, well, I don't have anything to do today. Yeah, you do. Start taking a look at your life. Start taking a look at what kind of example you are. Hey, am I an example in word? Do I need to work on my words? Do I need to work on my faith? Do I need to work on my charity? Do I need to work on my faith? Do I need to work on purity? Is there things I can clean up in my own heart, my own life? Listen, you can't pump the filth of the world in your ears and your eyes for 24 hours a day and not be affected. You got to have some cleanness. You got to work on cleaning it up. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, to clean yourself and from that kind of filth that's on the inside, you do it with the Word of God. Yeah, you do it with the Word of God. That's how that the Bible talks about that young man cleansing his way, by taking heed to the Word of God. We get in the book, okay, and do that kind of thing. Why? Help you have a clean life. Hey, you got bad habits, all right? Get rid of them. There's tons of things preachers used to preach on. You never hardly ever hear them preach on anymore. You know, smoking, dipping, and chewing. Well, preacher, what's wrong with that? Well, bless God, what's right with it, all right? Why? What are you doing to that life and that body that you've got, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? What are you doing to it? Hey, what are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. You ought to work on having a pure life. Clean life. Do it. Be thou an example of the believer. But notice again, look at verse 13. Got your Bible still open there, verse 13. Here's some things that he says, till I come, give attendance to. It's like he's saying, you make sure you do these. Don't forget these things. Give some good attention to these things. The first one, man, it cuts out about, I think, 80% of the population in our day. Reading. Give attendance to reading. Oh, man. I deal with kids at school. I hate to read. Well, get over it, okay? Get over it. Oh, reading is, man, it's such a good thing to do. It affects your life. We're to read, but our problem is we've got used to sitting mesmerized in front of the boob tube, all right? And we don't even have to think. We just stare at it, all right? We don't have to think. We don't have to consider. And by the way, they really don't want you to think. They pump you full of commercials, you know, and convince you deserve this, or you've got to have this. You can't live without it. Yeah, you can. We can. We can do without these things. But the Bible says give attendance to reading. Now, what are you going to read? Well, obviously, you read the Bible first. You ought to read the Bible. We used to go to Silver State Youth Camp in Sedalia, Colorado. And there was a guy there by the name of Brother Dan Allen. Dan Allen, I think the first time I laid eyes on him, he was 80 years old at least. Man, a preacher and still active. And I'll never forget him standing up and teaching those young people and those that were with those young people. And he would say, man, live in the Bible and visit good books. Live in the Bible and visit good books. Boy, it's good advice. Learn to read. Learn to read. Man, I just, you know, check it out. Read. Such a good thing for God's people to do. We try to challenge you every year to read through the Bible. We put, I think maybe there's still some Bible reading calendars back there. And if you'll sit down with it, you can read through the Bible in the year. I think of Brother Gip that was with us and back in the last summer, and he said, I just try to read 10 pages a day, at least 10 pages a day. He said, if you do, it's amazing how quickly you can read through your Bible. And it is. It is. He said, well, it takes forever. Well, I don't know. I realize different people read at different rates. Now, I love to read, and I guess you could say I'm a bookaholic. I love books. I like to read, and I've got a good library and several thousand volumes, and I'm, in spite of my wife, I'm still adding to that, all right? And but I try to be a lot more careful now than I used to be and a lot more particular about what I buy. But, just read. You surely can't read very fast. The more you read, the better you'll read. The more you read, the better you'll read, okay? And just work at it a little bit. But it'll do you good. Plus, there's one thing the Bible said you ought to give attendance to. Reading. Reading. Look at that next thing. Exhortation. What in the world? We might say it this way. We might use the word encourage. Encouragement. Exhortation is an encouragement. Back in the days of the Great Awakening, and in those services, and even in some camp meetings, probably still today, they had individuals that were called exhorters. They were exhorters. Now, they weren't preaching. They would be out amongst the people, but they were exhorting people. They were exhorting people. It was encouraging people. Encouraging people. Some of you, when you, during preaching, if you say, amen, that's a little bit of exhortation. That's exhortation. It's okay to say that, all right? It's okay to say that. It's okay to say amen every now and then. And that we had a fellow that came, Daryl, he was my next door neighbor. And he would say, that's right. And when he first said it, I thought, what did he just say? And I'd preach, and he'd say, that's right. And I got to where I said, I liked it when he said, that's right, all right? Hey, that was the exhortation. He said, well, he's just encouraging the preacher. No, really, he's encouraging the listener too. Encouraging everybody, all right? Encouraging people that are here. Hey, that's a good thing. But you and I ought to be an encourager. An encourager. Look, the world is filled. There's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of disgrace in the world. Man, how good it is to have somebody that's an encourager. Somebody that will come along and encourage you. Just step up beside you and say, it's going to be all right. Hang in there. Keep on going. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. I mean, you see sometimes people running in long races, and there'll be people that'll encourage them. Hey, keep going, keep going. Hey, this is the last hill in the race, all right? After this, it's downhill all the way. Encouragement, encouragement. What in the world's wrong with that? There's enough people finding fault. We don't need anybody else to help discourage people. We don't need anybody else to come around and say, well, I just don't think we can do it. I don't think you'll be able to do that. You know, I appreciate your zeal and your enthusiasm, But you can take it from me. I've been here longer than you have. And I just want you to know, you're doing something I don't think it can be done. Well, good. Thanks. Appreciate it. That makes me feel better. All right. That makes me feel better. Now, you may think, well, I'll sit in the preaching service and you preach. I'll sit here like this, shake my head. No, that's an encouragement. Okay. So you want to do that, go ahead. But, hey, you understand what I'm saying? There's enough people around discouraging folks. There's enough in this world that's depressing. I don't know how many people I've had tell me, I just quit listening to the news. It's all bad news. I got tired of listening to it. I just quit. I don't listen to news anymore. Hey, fine. But let's turn that deal over. Let's decide we're going to be the person with some good news. Let's decide, hey, I can major on encouraging people. Encouraging people. Just encourage them. Just somebody step up and say, you can succeed. You can get the job done. All right? You can make it. Hey, you're struggling as a Christian. You're trying to put away some old bad habit and maybe trying to lay aside a weight or maybe a sin that's had you down. It's nothing like having somebody come along and say, you're doing a good job. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You know, you hang in there. You can make it. You can. We try to encourage Brother Chester back there. And I'm glad for him. I'm glad to hear what's happening with him, and he's hanging in there. He said, what are you going to do, preacher, if he slips up? We're going to shoot him. It's going to shoot him. I mean, no. Well, but we're going to pick him up. We'll pick him up. Now, we don't want him to fall. That's not an encouragement to fall. That's an encouragement to stick it out, all right? But this whole world needs some people that are encouragers. Exhortation. Give attendance to exhortation. To exhorting, be the person that encourages others to hang on, keep on, and go on, all right? Be that. Then notice the last thing in verse 13. Give attendance to doctrine. Doctrine. Oh, no, preacher, we don't like that. We don't like that doctrine. That doctrine's what divides us now. We don't want that doctrine. That's a bad thing. Well, we just want to go back there to be the example in charity. We don't want the doctrine. Well, wait a minute. This is the same book, okay? It's even the same chapter where he says to be an example in charity, but it's also the same chapter where he says you give attendance to doctrine. You give attendance to doctrine. He said, what are you talking about? Hey, you need to know the specifics of what you believe. You need to know that. You need to know what you believe. You need to know why you believe it. The biggest target for the Jehovah's false witness folks are new Christians. New Christians. Because here's somebody that's just got saved. They're interested in the Lord and what the Lord is. But man, somebody come along and pick them. Oh, we can help you. Well, wait a minute, their doctrine's messed up. Their doctrine's messed up. Hey, we teach the Bible. We preach the Bible here, okay? If you come to Sunday school, you'll get a Bible lesson. There will be some doctrine, okay? You say, well, it's boring. No, it's not. It's good to know what you believe and why you believe it, okay? It's good to know that. You ought to be able to tell people what you believe. You ought to be able to tell people, I believe this. And you say, why do you believe it? Because my preacher does. That's not good enough, all right? That's not good enough. I can remember as a kid, somebody said, why do you believe that? Because my dad does. And my dad said we believe it. And we did believe it because he said we believed it. But I don't tell you that now. I'll tell you now, well, yeah, we believe it, but not just because Dad believed it. But see, Dad believed it because it comes from this book. And we believe this book. We believe it, okay? We're not easily shaken. Okay? We believe the Word of God. Why? Because we've given attendance to doctrine. To doctrine. We know what the Bible's saying. We know what it's got. We know why it says it. We know what we believe. Hey, listen, I'm a born-again child of God. You say, well, how can you be so sure? Because the Bible says I am. I've done what the Bible said to do. Done that. And I have an eternal security. Oh, now, wait a minute. No, we don't have to wait anything. The Bible says we have that. Amen. There is verse after verse after verse that says we do. We're saved, and we're saved forever. Forever. Oh, how do you know that? Because the Bible says it. Not because the preacher says it. Not because Brother So-and-so does it. Not because my church believes it. No, the Bible says it. It's in the Word of God. The Bible said we ought to be ready always to give an answer to every man for the faith that lieth in you. How are you going to do that? Doctrine. Doctrine. I know what I believe, okay? I know why I believe it. Hey, there's some things to do. There's some things to do. Now, I've only preached you 2 points of a 4-point message, but I'm going to uncouple it right here. We'll pick it up next Wednesday night, all right? But, hey, do you understand there's things to do? There's things to do. 2 big things. Be an example. Be an example. And then give attendance to some things. They're important. They're important. Be an example in word and conversation, charity and spirit, faith and purity. Be an example. Give attendance to reading. Exhortation to doctrine. Put an emphasis on them, okay? Put an emphasis on them. Those are things we can do. Those are things we ought to be doing, all right? Why? Because we're saved. Because we've been born again. God's done something in us. He's done something for us. He's made a difference in our life. That difference ought to show out. We ought to be an example. Be an example. Well, I messed up. Okay, well, work on it. Work on it. Remember that? I'm giving up. No. We'll encourage you to keep on. Keep on. That's a good thing about being in the house of God. You get around other people, they encourage you to do right. Encourage you to do right. That's what we ought to be. Hey, you need something to do? There's a few things. I'm here to tell you, they'll keep you busy a day or two. You come back next Wednesday, we'll finish the chapter, and there's more things to do, all right? Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. You sure been good to us. Lord, you've blessed us in so many ways. And Lord, you've told us there's things we need to do. Lord, would you help us to pay attention to what you say and to do those things we ought to do? Help us to be an example. Lord, to just be an example of that believer in this old world. And Lord, things we need to give attendance to that will help us in being an example. We'd read and we'd exhort. We'd give attendance and attention to doctrine. Lord, it'd be easier for us to be an example. And Lord, we pray tonight for those that couldn't be here. We ask you to help them. Lift them up. Bless them. Use them, Lord. And get them strong again. Get them healthy again where they can be back in the house of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.